Do you ever wonder what's happening behind the scenes of the multi-trillion dollar fashion industry? In the new podcast, Fashion People, Puck correspondent and 20-year fashion veteran Lauren Sherman and a rotating cast of industry insiders discuss what fashion people are really talking about behind the scenes of the star-studded business, from creative director switcheroos to M&A drama, DTC downfalls, and Met Gala mishaps. Fashion People, a presentation of Odyssey in partnership with Puck, is available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, Marketplace listeners, you know around here we like to think you're never too young to learn about the economy and financial basics. That's why we're bringing the Million Bazillion Live Tour to schools to teach important lessons about budgeting, investing, saving, and more. It's all the fun of the podcast, but now live, immersive, and interactive. Special thanks to our tour partner, Greenlight, the debit card and money app for kids and teens. Learn more about Greenlight at greenlight.com/million. That is greenlight.com/million.
I was reading the Chauvin thing. I hadn't seen it yet. Oh yeah.
Well, we will get to that. But that music you hear is thanks to Charlton Thorpe. Good grief, man. Have you no respect for host chatter? But anyway.
I know.
I'm Connor Rizdo. Welcome back to Make Me Smart Work. Kimberly and I were just mid-chat, and Charlton goes and fires it up. Make Me Smart is the podcast. You know what we do. Oh, my goodness.
Boy, and I'm Kimberly Adams. Thank you for joining us. It's Thursday, and clearly I do not have my life together, but we are going to nevertheless persist, do what we always do, some news,
right,
some smiles, and call it a day. And with that, I guess we should get to the news that we were talking about, because I hadn't seen this news until I clicked on your link, Kai.
So, Derek Chauvin, the Minneapolis police officer, who killed George Floyd 2 years ago this past spring, was sentenced today in federal court for violating George Floyd's civil rights. 21 years is what he got. I bring it up for two reasons. Number one is not everybody has seen it, including Kimberly Adams, who's one of the most plugged in people I know news-wise, but also because of this. The sentence range for this was 20 to 25. He got 21 years, and he will serve, as those of you who have closely read this case will know, he will serve it in federal prison, which is arguably an easier place for him to do time. And there was some protestation early on as this plea deal came about that really was not cool. But clearly the wheels of justice grind as the wheels of justice do. And he's gotten 21 years, which, I mean, it's not nothing. But it would have been, I don't know, more would have been somehow more palatable, I guess.
What jumped out to me in this LA Times article was that, you know, Chauvin's attorney asked for 20 years, the least that he could have gotten, arguing that Chauvin was remorseful and would make that clear to the court. But Chauvin, in brief remarks, made no direct apology or expression of remorse to Floyd's family. And it's like, wow, you murdered somebody and you're not even going to fake like you're sorry.
No.
That's a lot. That's a whole lot.
Yeah. Mm. And has not faked being sorry the whole time. Right? I mean,
yeah.
In my memory of the you know, criminal verdict, I don't think there's a lot of
that I've seen. Not that I've seen.
Yeah.
But I mean, I guess what would be, would you rather the fake apology or just, you know?
Right.
It's like, okay, you're a murderer and been convicted as a murderer, and you are going to remain a murderer. The judge also talked about how Chauvin ruined the lives of the other officers, because he came in and took command of the scene, didn't let the other officers intervene, you know.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Anyway, read the article. Very interesting.
Anyway, it's you know, just one of those things you got to be up to speed on. Item number two. Yeah, you might have seen this in the New York Times last night, that both Andrew McCabe and James Comey, former high-ranking FBI officials who were not friendly with Donald Trump, have found themselves being audited. That's the news item. What's really interesting is the analysis that the Upshot, which is the Times' economic and data and cool stuff blog, it's the analysis they did of how rare that coincidence is. And I'm not getting into the math because I'm not a math guy, but it was totally interesting, and you should read it if you're at all vaguely interested in statistics, which I kind of am, even though I can't do them myself. So I just want to point that out. We'll put it on the show page. And then finally, I feel the need, and we're going to get to British politics here in the Make Me Smile section, which is not a joke. We actually will in the Make Me Smile section, British politics. I just want to make a point about Boris Johnson and what happened to the prime minister. And this is not my original thought at all. It's been out there for a couple of days now. But what we saw in the UK the last 48 hours was a political party, the conservative political party in that country, by the way, holding their party leader responsible for actions that party members deemed unbecoming of the person holding that exalted office. And that just needs to be said repeatedly because it hasn't sunk in over here. And I will say no more.
Not much more to be said on that.
I mean, that's just,
Did you see that the Secret Service director is stepping down?
I did. Did you see where he's going, by the way?
No.
Apparently, sources say that he's got a job at Snapchat. He's taking a top security job at Snapchat. Yeah. How much do you love that? 20-something years in the Secret Service, 4 years in the military, 5 years in the military. And now he's going to be the top security guy or a top security guy at Snap. So there you go.
Timing is very interesting. Given
explain the recent attention.
So in the January 6th hearings, there has been a lot of attention on the role of the Secret Service in the events in and around January 6th. Famously, Cassidy Hutchinson testified that in the presidential vehicle, Trump actually tried to take control of the vehicle and force the Secret Service to drive him to the Capitol, and they refused. And then there were all these stories going around saying the Secret Service is denying it, the Secret Service is denying it, yet there has been no official, as at least that I have seen, Secret Service denial. And the January 6th committee is like, we're happy to hear from them, and I believe some of them are going to testify. And so now, in the midst of all of this, the head of the Secret Service decides that this is the appropriate time to end a long and storied career. Interesting timing.
Yep. For sure.
Okay.
So anyway,
well, here we go. My story, very techie, but also very businessy.
Oh, yeah.
The saga of Theranos just seems to finally be winding down. So for those who don't remember, Theranos was this company started by Elizabeth Holmes who that promised that if you just gave one drop of blood, they could run all of these diagnostic tests. And they got a ton of money from investors. They were getting ready to be in pharmacies. I think they were in some pharmacies. And it didn't work. It was all BS. And so there have been all these fraud and conspiracy charges. So today, the former COO, Sunny Balwani, was found guilty of all 12 counts of fraud, which was fascinating to me because Elizabeth Holmes didn't get convicted of all of her charges of fraud, but he did. Obviously, they're both going to appeal. It's very rare in Silicon Valley that this bravado and the fake it till you make it thing actually has criminal consequences, right?
Yeah.
Often there's financial consequences, but these folks are both likely going to jail. Prison, not jail. Yeah. They're going to prison. And that's something.
Oh, yeah. Totally a big deal. Let me just put a plug in here, and I get no remuneration for this at all, but if you haven't seen The Dropout with Amanda Seyfried on the Elizabeth Holmes Theranos saga, it's kind of amazing. It's really good. It's really good. And she does a great job. She did a great job just embodying Elizabeth Holmes. It's wild. Yeah.
All right. I need to break. Anyway. I need to go and watch it. I've been meaning to watch that and the WeWork one.
Oh, so interesting. I have no desire to watch the WeWork run. I'm so done with the WeWork story.
Well, you had to cover it a lot.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. All right, Charlton, let's hit it. Okay, I'm going to go first here because mine are quick and dirty and yours is the absolutely fabulous one. Those of you who listen to this podcast regularly know that both Kimberly and I are space geeks. And I want to point out two things that I saw floating in the ether the last couple of days. Number one is an essay in The Atlantic about by Marina Korn, who's their space correspondent, about the imagery we are getting from Mars from the latest rover. It's not quite poetic, this essay, but it's really interesting and informative. And if you're a space person and if you believe, like, I don't know, Elon Musk, that we're eventually going to get to Mars one day, this one is something you ought to read. And then the other one, here's the thing about this. We've talked about the Webb Space Telescope a lot, and we're going to get, like, next week sometime, their first sort of official public image. But they put out a test image or an image taken by the Fine Guidance Sensor as sort of a preview of what we're going to get. And we're going to put it on the show page. But here's the thing, and I'm going to sound like a jerk here, but I need to know from scientists, and I know there are some scientists out there, what this image is showing us. Because there's a couple of stars in there, and you can tell they're stars. Literally, it says this in the picture caption, so it's not just me. You can tell they're stars because they look like stars. They've got those star rays emanating from them. And then there's a bunch of, literally a bunch, probably hundreds, of galaxies, right? And you can see the spiral formations, and it's the farthest into the space that we've ever seen. And it's super cool. I want to know what we can learn from this. That's the thing I'm not clear on. So if you're a scientist, write to us, text us, call us. Let me know what this is telling us, because I'm not quite sure.
What I still can't quite get over or wrap my mind around is something that one of the folks we talked to about this telescope, when it launched, said that the images that we're seeing were literally traveling back in time. Because it takes so long for the light to reach us. And since we're looking so far away, we are seeing things that have not, where the light hasn't reached us yet. So we're looking backwards in time. And so, like, the stars that we're looking at tonight maybe don't even exist anymore. It's their light just got to us. But what we're seeing in this telescope, the light hasn't arrived here. And so we're seeing where the light was, you know, maybe a million years ago because it's so far away. And that's really cool to me.
Yeah, because it is cool. It's cool to me.
It is cool. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Mine was a literal make me smile, make me chuckle this morning. So much so that before our rundown was even up, I was like, dibs, this is mine for the make me smile. So I'm not trying to laugh at you know, political instability in other countries, but this was funny. So there is a cat that lives outside 10 Downing Street in London. It's a very famous cat.
No, I think it lives in, right? It's the house cat, right? Doesn't he live in 10 Downing Street?
Oh, I don't know. I always see photos of him, like, preventing cars from moving outside.
Yeah. Anyway, sorry.
Larry the cat is the number 10 Downing Street cat. Very cute cat. He has his own Twitter account and lots of photos and all these things. I'm not sure if this is, I doubt this is an official account, but the account says, chief mouser to the cabinet office for a decade and counting, 15-year-old tabby in position longer than the leader of any UK political party. It says, okay, it's an unofficial account. Great. This morning or this afternoon, there was a photo posted of Larry the cat outside 10 Downing Street with a photoshopped podium in front of him saying, I can no longer, in good conscience, live with this prime minister. Either he goes or I do. And actually, I'm sorry, this was 2 days ago. This was on July 5th when this wave of resignations first started. And so this was just very funny. I guess you just have to see it. It didn't sound very funny
when
I explained
it. Have a look at it. No, it's good.
You have to see
it. It's good. Trust us on this.
Sorry.
You got to see it. Take a look. We'll put it on the show page because that's what we do.
You have to see it to appreciate it. All right. Let's see.
Charlton.
That is No, there's no more music yet. We have to say goodbye.
There's no more music? Oh, there is no more music.
Yeah.
Well, maybe there should be. No, I'm
kidding. There's more music, but we're not there yet. Say.
How long have I been doing this damn podcast?
That is it for us today, because clearly we both need to go and wind down. We will be back tomorrow for Economics on Tap. You can find us on the YouTube live stream starting at 6:30 Eastern on my side of the country, 3:30 Pacific on Kai's side of the country. We'll have more news, a game, and of course, drinks. Yes, that's it.
There we go. Send us your thoughts, your comments, your questions. Also, if you happen to be an astrophysicist, the answer to my question of what we're going to learn from the space telescope, keep it brief. I know that's really hard. Our email is makemesmart@marketplace.org or leave us a message, 508-UBSMART. That's how you get a hold of us. Oh, there's the other music. Fine.
Yes.
Fine. Whatever.
Make Me Smart is produced by Marissa Cabrera. Olivia Chow is our intern. Today's episode was engineered by Charlton Thorpe.
Bridget Bonner is the senior producer of this year's podcast. The director of On Demand is Donna Tan. Although I will say, we happen to know Bridget's checking her email. So don't do that, Bridget. Don't do that.
Wait, is she off?
Yeah. Hello?
She was like, I was on Zoom with her today.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.